I'm Leslie. I'm a mom of three and a bunch of other things.
And I'm Candy. I'm a drag queen.
And we both like creating things, learning about stuff, and getting inspired by the world around us.
Yeah. And apparently I've got a big old dumper.
La la la, Leslie.
Sweet and sassy and smart.
And the drag queen.
I think it'll be all right.
You think it's
gonna
okay?
Be all right. Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna hear some birds over here and some transformers, and you're gonna hear a little chewing, a little bone chewing over there.
But do you have Optimus Prime? Because if you have Transformers.
Yeah, I think it's one of the lesser Transformers. It's like the one that it's the one that turns into a garbage truck.
It's the cheap, like, you know, knockoff version. Like,
it's I think his name was just Dump. Yeah, Dumper.
Dumper.
That's it.
I love that guy.
Yeah, from Bambi. No, isn't that don't some people call that a butt a dumper? I know dumper is a term.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I've heard
it's just terrible to say. But I love it.
I was thinking, let's just pretend like they don't. But you're like, I love it. So we live in two alternate realities. It's all right.
So the Merriam-Webster just says, oh, his career is in the dumper. So I guess same as a dumpster.
I think that dumpster is a company. I think that's why they have to say that. Because whenever you see it written kind of officially, like in an article or something, it's capitalized. Dumpster.
I'm also like realizing that it has so many definitions online. Like there are all these slang things.
Like dumpster fire.
It can though refer to it says here a big butt.
Oh, see you do.
And then it gives gives an example sentence: that girl has a dumper. Sounds terrible.
And that's in the Merriam, like in the Webster dictionary.
No, I had to dig a little deeper. That was just
like Urban Dictionary or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, that was like, your career's in the dumper. And then it also said, like, I guess a dumper could also just be one who dumps.
Okay.
I'm like, what kind of dump are we talking about here? But maybe any kind, you know.
Dumper. To dump. Dumpear. I don't know.
Like, you're like, where's George? Oh, that dumper. Where do you think he is?
But like, everybody's a dumper. You know, it's just like that.
From time to time.
Kids book. Everybody poops. So
hopefully. It also says here, a dumper can refer to, it's the same. A relatively large ass. It has relatively underlined, though. I don't understand that. But this is clearly not Merriam-Webster, because I don't think they say ass in definitions on Webster.
No, but there's nuances. They're
referring to a donkey. Everybody's talking about butts one way or another.
Hey, everybody. We want to welcome you to Leslie and the Drag Queen, where we just jumped right in and started talking about poop and butts. And we're so glad that you joined us.
You know, we're a very young podcast. We're still in the anal phase. I'm sure we'll grow out of it.
We're obsessed with the potty talk. Yeah, that is true. We are a baby podcast. We are just getting started. And
Gaga Goo Goo.
That's right. Lady Gaga and Papa and Goo Goo.
And Papa Goo Goo. Oh, no.
No, that doesn't work.
That's right up there with Dumper.
Papa Goo Goo has a big dumper.
Papa Goo Goo in the dumpers. I mean, that could be, it's like the Goo Goo Dolls and Hootie and the Blowfish in one band.
They're going to be playing some casino in Louisiana.
Except they're
year.
All parodies of songs by those artists.
Oh, yeah. That would be
they
really
have to be funny.
Yeah. You can't take yourself seriously with the name like, what was it? Papa and the Goo Goos?
Papa Goo Goo and the Dumpers.
Papa Goo Goo and the Dumpers. Right. I'll get it by the time their third album comes out.
I'm picturing like kind of a Tenacious D vibe.
Oh, okay. Like really just totally not just a little wink, wink. We're cute and funny, but just all in all.
All out. All silly. Out. Very, very silly.
I can get behind
this
that.
This is the second time I've brought up Tenacious D.
Yes.
A group that I have never seen perform or watched the movie of.
Like, right.
I could be talking about a sports figure. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You just
based
love
on,
Tenacious D.
I love the name, you know. I love a Tenacious D, honestly. It's just
you don't want a timid one. It needs to be.
No, I don't want some can't make up your mind D. I want
Tenacious. It's gonna stick through thick and thin.
It's gonna stick right through the fabric of your pants. No, it's gonna stick.
No. Hold on a second, Tenacious D. Give me a damn minute.
Slow down. Yeah, I want something I can bat away. I want something I could be like, no.
No, Tenacious D. No. I was called Tenacious, not D, thankfully, but Tenacious in an interview one time. And I had to go home and this was before Google. And I guess I got out a dictionary. I don't know what I did, but I was like, I'll probably ask my mom, what is Tenacious? Is that good? Because the only thing I think it was right around the time of Tenacious D. And this, you know, lady who ended up being my boss said, well, I think you're very tenacious and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, is this good? Or was she telling me to fuck off? No, good. I got the job.
Oh, you did get the job.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, I love that.
But I just
you got to be tenacious when it comes to jobs, because what you realize as you move up in the world is that the people that are hiring people are just like the other people. They want to go home and they just can't stand the shit either.
Yeah.
And they're not thinking about you or even the job most of the time. So you gotta like remind them that you're there and that they need to give a job to someone. And you're like, hey, let me make life easier for you.
That's right.
Give me the job.
Yes. That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like, I heard someone, a vocal coach, talking about getting ready for auditions and thinking of it as you want to be a solution to their problem. Like, here I am. You know that you got to fill this part. So just give it to me. Let's just all wrap this all up. It's the same for a job interview.
Exactly.
And that's your LinkedIn sponsored job hunting advice from Candy and Leslie, everybody.
That's right. Go get you a job.
So just be tenacious.
That's LinkedIn's new slogan now. Get a job.
Get you a job.
Get you a job. Well, it's up between two. It's either get you a job or get a job, bub.
Oh, that's too mild. Get a job, bub. That sounds like something your grandma would say. But
it's retro. Yeah. No, I think the first one is probably better.
Yeah. Get you a job.
Get you a job. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. Get you a job.
They can't do that.
No. I'm just saying it's that caliber of slogan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Whoever wrote that for them was doing great. Well, look,
fresh.
It is.
Okay, sorry.
Fresh.
Stop.
You can't eat until you get you a job.
Oh, that's God.
Any fresh or otherwise.
I hope I get a job that will afford me better than Subway, honestly.
I just had some. No, I won't get into it. Okay. Oh, because we're trying to keep it tight here.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Guys, we're keeping it tight in 2023. It's now a new year. Mm-hmm. We're a week in a couple days.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
You know what? I feel like I already need a restart. Like somehow I started getting online too much with all of the Speaker of the House drama. And I'm really into politics. I'm very stay up to date to all that. But I try to balance it and not follow too much because it'll just make you depressed as hell.
Right.
And so, but I was really following that closely, the whole drama with Kevin McCarthy and the 20 extremists that were keeping him, whatever, just that whole clusterfuck. And the other day I told my husband, I was like just making dinner or something and kind of staring off into space. And he's like, what's going on? And I was like, I've lost all faith in humanity. already. It's like December. I mean, January 7th, you know, like they'll be. And I was like, I think I'm on Twitter too much. I need to get off. And so I tried to pull back a little bit, and that has helped because, yeah, woo, it's just, it's too much.
No, I know that is too much. It's a good thing that I don't have the patience to read anything. So I don't get caught up in those kind of esoteric writhings.
Writhings. I was writhing quite a bit. The problem is, though, that, of course, there are all these, you know, analysis from pundits that you can read and stuff, but so much of the stuff on Twitter is really fun. Like
I know,
there are all these little quips or people doing satirical commentary on it. And you get sucked in with that because it's amazing. And it helps you feel not so alone and not so crazy. Like, oh, they're the crazy ones, not me. But then you just keep digging more and more, and eventually you get to the...
Yeah, and eventually you're reading comments, and it's getting you all triggered, and you're like, fuck you, and you're like fantasizing about going to somebody's house and blowing up the mailbox with a turd, with an inflatable turd. Well, I don't even know what I'm saying now.
Yes. Okay.
I have weird fantasies. Oh, blowing up mailboxes with inflatable turds.
That seems very realistic to me.
That seems like that's me all over right there.
How about your 2023 so far?
Oh, well, it's been a kind of freaking amazing, actually. It's like, okay, so I did an event on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Which I got to wear this fabulous outfit for this goddess outfit that I told you about with the underwear.
Yes.
And
you got to debut your underboob. That went well. Yeah, everything worked out with the costume.
You know, it went well for about the first half of me wearing it. And then like either my silicone breastplate kind of shifted down, like forward, or the bathing suit was riding up, but I could not keep my nipples covered. Like they were just popping out like constantly.
And you had a Janet Jackson moment.
I was standing there taking like step and repeat pictures with people and not realizing that they are taking pictures with this woman with her boobs out. Yeah. So then I did a costume change after that. I was just like, I can't with this. But once I got like the outfit off and looked in the mirror, like seriously, my tits were like down at my waist. I was like, this is not the look. This is not, I know this is realistically how it would look, but I get to choose.
Right. That's right. That is not the idea of this fantasy here.
No.
You're not trying to be Carol from down the road. I removed
those boobs, but they were so hot. They're so sweaty and hot and awful.
Yeah.
I mean, well, silicone. Silicone.
I can't imagine. And you said it went up to your neck last time.
Yeah, it goes up to my chin.
No. Did you? But so then you couldn't kiss them at midnight like I told you to because you'd taken them off.
Who? Oh, my boobs. Right. I could kiss them if I could feasibly probably have done it. No, wait, did I change before midnight? I think I did. I was there for a couple hours in the white and then I was like, all right, enough with this. Plus, the headdress was driving me bonkers.
It was so pretty.
It was beautiful, but you have to like walk erect. You have to be like straight up and down.
Yeah. So, yeah. I can see how that would be a pain to carry that thing around. It's gorgeous.
It was slip. And the worst was when it would slip forward because it has like this like kind of outer part. It's almost like that head thing that, you know, they wear on the X-Men, you know, like how Professor X finds all the mutants, except it had all the shit on top. That like made it slip forward. And then like the middle part that came down would like bonk me on the nose. Like it would smoosh me right in the face. And I did not like it.
People don't know the things that you go through.
They do not know.
It's Plus,
your face is basically like a chalk painting and it will smudge.
That's you know, right.
It will wipe right off.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's only so much setting spray that can help a thing rubbing on there over and over and over again. Yeah,
exactly. Or just getting mashed in the face once. That's enough to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So
So
2023, we're off and running. You're ready for a restart.
I am.
New Year's amazing, super fun. But yesterday, mm-hmm. Leslie, I gave birth.
Like, that's right.
I have now birthed a new drag daughter into the world. It's official. Uh-huh. She like fully manifested and performed for the first time, Miss Tara Way.
And did amazing from the looks of it.
Yeah.
She just looked like she nailed it.
Yeah. She's a huge newborn though. She really was. I had to have a full episiotomy. It's terrible. And
are you sitting on a donut right now?
I
for the
am.
Stitches. I've been there, girl.
It is a donut down there. That's what I'm telling you. It's just like, it's like when you're waiting for your luggage at the airport and it has to come through those like flaps, you know, the little flaps kind of flap over your luggage as it comes out of the chute. That's pretty much what's going on.
You're just kind of flapping, but it's all worth flaps. It because now you have your new drag baby.
Right. And I found all this luggage that I didn't know I had.
You had been wondering where that pair of shoes was. So there you go.
I thought Hawaiian Airlines lost this. Turns out it was just in my TARDIS vagina, bigger on the inside.
Okay, so just to be serious for a second.
Yes.
Because I was trying to explain this to my son. We were watching y'all documented the whole process on Instagram of getting ready. And it was neat to watch because it was really almost like in real time, but we were watching it. And
oh, that's so cool. I'm so happy y'all were there with me.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so I was explaining to him the concept of drag daughters, but I was limited in my knowledge. I was like, there's daughters and then there's granddaughters. So explain to me again how one becomes a drag daughter, like how you have a drag daughter.
So basically you become someone's drag daughter just because you both agree to it. But what it means for you could be different things depending on who your drag mother is. And for me, all of my other drag daughters have come to me already kind of pretty much fully formed. Like they had already started drag in some way, shape or form and already were thinking about their persona and their name and all this stuff. And, you know, I guess I helped a little bit with Anna's name and, but with Tara, she's the first baby I've ever had where I have taught her everything.
Yeah.
This baby, I'm talking about this 40-year-old man. And this little baby newborn who's just learned to walk in stiletto bumps. Oh my God. And that was the funniest part. And I know she's probably going to hear this, but she fell not once, but twice, once at the very top of the show and once again at the end. And both times, wearing the same pair of heels and spinning, like spinning around on one foot and both times just going down on her big padded butt and was fine. Like was totally, was saved by the big padded butt. But
thank God for the butt padding. Natural or otherwise. I saw y'all on Instagram.
I was really worried. And the second time, I think I just rolled my eyes. I was just like, not again.
We're not doing this again.
But she killed it. She absolutely slayed. And I think even the falling, people thought it was planned.
Right.
They thought the falling was like her deal. I was like, well, I mean, maybe death spins are your, maybe that's your signature move. A death spin. You just spin around and fall on your butt.
That's very toddler-like. It's like ring around the rosies. Well, that's really exciting.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. But I'm going to like take a breath. Mm-hmm. Because I know I'm going to come back to Tara.
Okay.
And
we'll get back
I'm
to
not
her
talking
later.
About where Scarlett O'Hara is from. No, not that Tara.
No.
Mm-mm. It's a different one.
Not the red earth of Tara, although she did have a red wig on.
She did have a red wig. That's right. She's a redhead.
Super cute. Well, it is time to take a breather because this is the last episode of this season.
That's right.
Yes. We're on episode 8. We decided we would just start off with these 8 episodes for the first season and kind of see where we go from there.
Let's do 8 and see what happens.
That's right. And it has been so fun. It has been I don't even know what the word is because we've gotten so much great feedback. We've had such a great time together and we've learned so much.
And it's been awesome. Yeah. And I really feel like I have grown from the experience, you know,
yeah,
like that I've experienced some growth and some, like, you know, just kind of staying on top of like keeping this going, mm-hmm. you know, if a producer wants to step in and like take care of all the details for us. No, for real.
Yeah. In all seriousness, that may be something we need to think about for season two so that we can put out even more content. That would be really fun to be able to kind of hand over some of the technical reins to someone else and let us do our thing and come out a little more frequently, maybe. Who knows?
Exactly. I'm ready to make this my job.
That's right. But yeah, if listeners out there, if you have any input for us about what you want to see in season two, because we did a few different types of things this season. We had some deep dives. We've had a couple guests. We've had just kind of some random grab bag type of stuff like we're going to have today. So let us know what you're liking and what you'd like to see more of.
Plus our segments. Don't forget those.
That's right. The segments, the humiliation station, keep making shit. I think we've done a couple of creativity hacks. So you can email us at leslieandthedragqueen@gmail.com or send us a message through any of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. And let us know what you think.
Subscribe, rate us, review us.
Yes, that's going to be really important since we're taking a bit of a break. If you don't want to lose track of us, you better subscribe right now so that you'll be ready when the next episode of season two comes out.
Yeah, you tell us you want more and we will bring more, honey, because we are attention whores. And if no one's paying attention, then we're gonna ditch it.
We're gonna shrivel up and die. No, we'll move on to our next
That's right. Source. We'll find another way to get attention.
We're like attention whores / vampires. But vampires are very whorish, at least on what we do in the dark. So,
yeah,
or what we do in the dark, what they do. What is it? What they do in the shadows.
What we do in the shadows.
What we do in the shadows. Shit. Whatever it is.
I love it. What they do in the dark.
It is dark in the shadows.
That's another show, Leslie. That is a totally different show. What they do in the dark. It's like kids talking about sex. That's what it sounds like to me. It's like, I don't know what happens in there. That's something weird, and I don't want anything to do with it.
Whatever they do in the dark stays in the dark. I don't want to.
What they do in the dark, stay far away from that. Okay.
Well, let's jump into today's show.
Talk about kids and sex in the same sentence. How about I'm just going to make that a personal rule?
Yeah.
Keep those in separate paragraphs, even.
But I'll talk about that, kids and sex, real quick. Just because my youngest said something really funny yesterday, I put it on Instagram, but she was getting ready for bed and stuff. And she told me, Mom, you know how, she's 8, by the way, Mom, you know how there's like millions of bugs and organisms and stuff that live all over us? And I said, yeah. And she's like, well, what if they're just like doing it on you? Oh. And I was like, I kind of was like, oh my God. And then I remembered that exact line had come from this video she'd watched from one of her favorite YouTubers. And I was like, you don't even know what that means. You don't know what doing it means. You just saw that on a video. And she goes, yeah, I do. I know what that means. I was like, oh shit, here we go. I was like, what? And she goes, it means doing number one or number two. And she's like, right? And I'm like, yes. Yep. That's exactly right.
That is
terrifying,
so funny, I
but
know.
Cute, but just all the things.
Reaction is the funniest part. That is, you're like, yes,
yes,
that's exactly what it is.
Totally is. You got me. And she's like, I can't believe you think I didn't know that. Like, I've known that for a long time.
Oh boy, yeah. I'm not sure which scenario is more disturbing. Is it like teaching kids about sex? Or is it kids thinking that sex is pooping and peeing on each other? Now, how crazy is that? You're talking about going number one and number two. And immediately my dog runs in here and has to go number one and number two.
He knew.
He did them both. He knew. He's like, oh, I think that's my cue.
He's a smart boy.
It's Pavlovian response, I think. You know, now I've got to go. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
Tell those jelly beans they have to wait.
No. I got all the jelly beans out of my system way earlier.
Good, good. Well, okay, let's jump on into this episode. We have a little bit of a grab bag because I had the idea that maybe we could share three things with each other. And we're going to share a sweet thing, a sassy thing, and a smart thing with each other. And just see what happens. Do you have your sweet, smart, and sassy things ready, Candy?
Well, I wasn't exactly, I hope I understood the assignment because I'm just, you know, I'm just responding to the, you know, the words and just kind of, I was just thinking about like things that have happened, you know, recently. And that was, is that okay?
Yeah, that's kind of what, you know, and I may not have described it very well in my half awake message earlier, but so let's start with sweet.
Yeah, this is all just coming from my personal life.
That is totally good.
And all three of mine are really going to be about the same thing, but different aspects of the same thing.
Okay. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes, I think that'll work. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Okay. Am I going first or are you going first?
You go first. Share something sweet.
Well, great. And then I get to find out just how wrong I did the assignment.
Or I can go first if you want.
No, it's probably better this way.
Okay.
So on the sweet end, that makes me think about this past week and working with my husband, Joseph, and with my host body's husband, Joseph. It's so complicated.
I know it is.
And with my new drag daughter on all this stuff and like having Dawn come over. And like Don is his boy name and like cutting out the butt pads and, you know, just working on the songs, like helping him figure out all the stuff and really was like a crash course in drag. And so, I don't know. It was just really sweet. And I
That's
really
super sweet.
Feel, I don't know. I really feel a real family connection. And so
That's awesome.
And it was just awesome. We were all part of it. Even the dog, even Toby was just like, he was an integral part of the whole process.
Oh, he's probably upset. He missed the show. He got to see all behind the scenes.
I'm sure. He's, the sight line is pretty low. I don't know. He might not be able to catch it anyway from his vantage point.
So how long did it take for y'all to put all that together from start to finish, you think?
Took like he probably started buying stuff 2 months ago, but we really did all the stuff in like 3-4 weeks.
Wow, that's a lot. I was thinking, I mean, I don't know, I thought somewhere in that time frame, but dang, that's pretty fast and furious.
And like Tara debuted, and people were like, this is her first time. It was. Yeah. She's still glowing. She's still glowing.
It's awesome. Yeah. Love it. That is very sweet. Very,
even
very
sweet. Even the soreness in her bottom just reminds her of happy times. It's just
I mean, those little like snafus are the things though that you do end up remembering. And that's probably one of the scariest things that you can imagine happening, falling on stage. And for it to happen twice and survive and it's fine, and for the audience to think it's part of the show, that's ideal. Like, you already got it out of the way. First time, you know, first time out, and you're golden now.
To me, what I told her, I was like, I think you couldn't have better luck. It's like the bird shit on your head, you know. It's like, oh, let's get this away, get this out of the way right now. And also get out of the way the fears of that happening. Like you said, let's like, oh, let's just let you know right off the bat that you can't really mess this up.
Right.
Like, even if you fall on your ass, like it still may be an incredible performance if you get back on the horse.
Yes. And
but
I think just the nature of drag.
We're never going to have horses in the show again. This is the last time. Nightmare.
Horses and stilettos. I just can't see that mixing.
Tara, get back on this horse and do the rest of your number.
That's right. You're like Mama Rose on her. Get back out there. Yeah, I can somewhat relate to that. I wasn't in stilettos, but one time I fell off the stage. It was a very small stage, but I kind of, you know, stepped off. I couldn't see, the lights were in my eyes, and I kind of stepped off. And this was like, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, somewhere around there. So it wasn't like that long ago.
How far was the fall?
I don't know. It was like maybe a foot or two. It wasn't that bad. Like, I was able to catch myself, but I was in the middle of a dance that was kind of complicated. And thankfully it was a lighter show. It was like a Christmas cabaret type thing. And so I just kind of, you know, used it and laughed and was like,
right,
made a face at the audience. Like, yep, yeah, that just happened. I kept singing, kept dancing, and that was it. But you know, I've been performing my whole life, and I was always afraid of like, what would happen if I fell, or I fell off the stage, or whatever. And it was like, well, now I know. I just use it. I got nothing.
Exactly.
You just keep going and it is fine.
And you might even get a laugh.
I did.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
He's just determined to participate in the conversation.
Hey, no, we're not doing that.
But yeah, I think I did get a little laugh, and it's like, you move on and it's all good.
If you were keeping yourself from being creative because you might fall on your ass, just stop that right now and just fall on your ass, like right off the bat, because it's great, actually.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a giant foam butt on, it's no biggie.
No biggie. All right. Okay. I'm going to share my sweet thing with you.
Yes,
now.
I want to hear your sweet.
So I was kind of trying to think of something sweet for my life, like you'd mentioned, and there were a few things, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to kind of go really literal with this and share an actual sweet recipe that I discovered lately. I had bought these frozen cherries at the store, and I was wanting to find a smoothie recipe with cherries, because I was like, that I could just make up something, but I would rather, you know, do something that I know is going to work. I'm not super adventurous when it comes to recipes. But yeah, like, I've been trying to eat more fruit and stuff in the new year and just be a little bit healthier. And I like a good smoothie for breakfast. So I found this one that was so easy, and it was good. And it tasted like a milkshake almost. It was really good. So I'm going to put it in the show notes, but I'll give you the rundown real quick.
I want it right now.
I know. No, I'll tell you. So you just do a cup of frozen cherries and a banana. And then this is the part that was really good. You do 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder.
What?
That was so yummy. Just straight up like baking cocoa powder.
Okay.
And then a little cinnamon and a cup of any kind of milk you want. The recipe called for oat milk, but I just use plain old dairy. And then you just blend it up, and that's it. I think the recipe,
like, cherry chocolate.
Yes.
Oh.
But like, you don't have all that sugar like you would have with chocolate. There's sugar from the fruit.
No added sugar. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I'm doing it.
It was wonderful. Yeah. And actually made enough for like 2 smoothies. So I was able to give my daughter.
I'll drink them both.
Okay. You don't have to share. But yeah. That was such a great, I don't always want something sweet in the morning, but sometimes I do. And you know, smoothies are usually going to be sweet. So that was perfect to take as I was running out the door. And it felt so, I don't want to say bad, because it's not good to label food as good or bad, but it felt bad.
Yeah.
But it was healthy. So that is my
gosh. Sweet. I can't wait to try it.
Yeah. It's yummy, yummy. All right. So let's move on to sassy.
The 3 S's, triple S.
Yes.
S squared.
S cubed.
Sweet, sassy, smart. Next we have Sassy. Ding.
Ding. I just expected some girl named Sassy to come out. Like, hey.
Next we have Sassy Dubois. Welcome to the stage, Sassy Dubois. Take a turn. Okay, so I'm just going to keep going back and talk about my little drag baby again.
Yes.
So Sassy, I want to talk about this number that she did where she took a Mary Poppins costume that had like, you know, it had like a separate jacket and a little separate belt on top of like a kind of a blouse thing with a skirt. And she sewed it all together and then cut the whole thing down the back and the front and sewed all these snaps into it. Uh-huh. And but it lays like perfect. Like it doesn't look like it's held together with snaps. It looks like just a regular garment. So she did this number and had two guys come up, grab her two sleeves and rip the thing off of her. So she goes from Mary Poppins to a dominatrix.
Oh.
And in this little like black vinyl, you know, like kind of bathing suit kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was so legendary. It was so sassy because I didn't know Tara had it in her. And the song that she did, it still is sticking with me. But I'm going to talk about that in my last segment.
Okay.
Called Smart.
This is nice. This has like a little thread running through. And what a cool experience that can be all three at once.
Yay!
Sweet, sassy, and smart.
It's just what's on my mind. And I feel like I'm just like, I have so much love for this person today. Aww. Of all days, because we just had this experience yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm living in appreciation.
I love it. I mean, it does not get much more sassy than Mary Poppins turning into a dominatrix.
Right. Because Mary Poppins herself is pretty darn sassy.
Is she? Like, yeah.
She's not going to have any nonsense.
She is not. I was rewatching that recently, and I'm like, wow, she gaslights the fuck out of those kids. And I remember loving that movie as a kid. But
oh, like how she's like, oh yeah, like she takes them on all these adventures, and then she's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. They're like, that's oh, can fucked. We go and do ride on the carousel again? She's like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
go to bed. It's like, shit. That's
here,
so
I'll
cool.
Sing this song and maybe it'll make you fall asleep.
Right. I'm going to sing about the old bird lady. You're going to be
such a melancholy song, but I do love all of that music.
I know. You know what? It's so serendipitous that we're talking about this because Wendy, who we had on episode 6, I think. Yeah, on 6, Wendy Liebman,
yes.
Her father-in-law was one of the ones that wrote all that music.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was one of the Sherman brothers who they
I love that.
I know. It's amazing.
Oh, and he got portrayed, right, in that movie with Emma Thompson and is it Tom Hanks? The one that's about the lady that wrote the books of Mary Poppins.
Oh, I didn't
Walt
see that
Disney.
Movie.
Oh, you got to see it. I think it's like something Mrs. Banks, like serving
oh.
Mrs. Banks. No, that's not it.
But Saving Mrs. Banks.
Maybe that's it. And it's all about like basically Walt Disney, like charming her into giving up the rights to her story. But you meet the songwriting duo. So
there you go.
So her dad is actually portrayed in a movie.
Her father-in-law. Yeah, that's
oh,
so
her father-in-law.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, that's just more sweet. To add
yes.
to the episode. You ready for my sassy?
I want to hear your sassy.
Oh my gosh. This one is going to be an audio visual. I'm going to cue it up and then I'll tell you about it. So it is audio visual, but it's going to work great for just the audio. If people have not uh-huh. seen this clip by now. So I'm going to screen share so you can see this. I'll preface it by telling you, this is the beginning of the Miss World pageant. I guess it's from this year. I don't know. I used to love all that stuff when I was little. I used to love watching those pageants, but I don't really keep up with it anymore. I didn't even know there was still a Miss World. But
no.
These are all the contestants introducing themselves at the beginning and saying their country.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so excited. I feel okay. like I'm right in your house. I'm like on your desktop. Here we go.
Costa Rica!
What happened to France? I mean, they're all a little ridiculous.
They are completely.
But what It was like France was so like had been in line for so long. And like all these girls were getting more and more hyped up, like saying their country name. And yes. then like they just got to her and she just screamed it. She screeched.
You can't like I had to rewind it a few times and be like, what did she say? Oh, it's France. Oh my god.
Like, wow.
That poor was, girl. She had
that
to...
was a lot of buildup. That was a lot of buildup. No, I know. But I appreciated it. I know I like a joke with the long buildup.
The whole thing is ridiculous, having them scream their countries like that anyway. And very sassy, some of them.
Yes. I mean, like some of those like Costa Rica. Like
oh yeah.
Like, wow, she's rolling the crap out of that R.
She's like, I am letting you have it. Yeah. But can you imagine that poor girl had to then go and compete for the rest of the time after saying
maybe that's
that.
Just how she talks. It might just be her thing.
No. She's because like, her little face afterwards, she's like, oh God.
Oh, she's like, that's not quite what I meant to do.
She just got too excited.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, poor Miss France. First the World Cup. P.S. They lost to Argentina.
Well.
So first that, and then now their Miss World messes up. They just can't catch a break. But they still got baguettes.
Let's just slow down on the anti-France. We don't want to lose those French fans.
All two of our French fans are thoroughly pissed. Hey,
we love y'all, too. Avec moi. No, je t'aime.
Voulez-vous coucher?
Leslie, please. Let's not have any indecent proposals on this. You're a married woman.
I'm just repeating the lyrics to Lady Marmalade. That's it. You're like,
I just want him to get in bed with me. I didn't say we had to do anything.
That's right.
Oh, no. Is it sleep? Coucher.
I don't
know. Like go to bed? Is it like a couch or like a?
I don't know. They do not cover. Well,
I just want
Duolingo.
Him to sit on the couch with me. Honestly, like, is that too much to ask?
Coucher, like couche. Take me in it. coupe de ville. I don't know.
But you're gonna take that in a totally different direction.
I know you did. That's because you're dirty. But I did not go there.
Well, I appreciate that.
But we are in the sassy segment, so I'll allow it.
Oh, sassy. Well, couch. Poosh, poosh in the couch, y'all.
All right. Before we get to, what's the last one? Smart. Before we get to smart.
That was a perfect introduction. What's that last one called again?
What is it? Oh, smart.
Right, smart.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't think of it. Perfect.
What's your smart story to share, Candy?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a great subject to ask me about because I know all about smart stuff. I know from experience because I am smart. And
you are smart. You're very
smart,
savvy, and smart about all sorts of things.
Yes, I'm savvy. I'm smart. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And
doggone it,
people. Tolerate me. So my final concluding thing that I'm going to say about Miss Tara Way is that she wrote all of the songs that we did for this show. Like they're all parody songs, but she wrote the words for all of them. And then when we started working, because like a couple of them were duets for us. Uh-huh. And she wrote the whole thing. And of course, you know, like I'm, you know, pushy and egocentric. So I had to come in and like change some stuff to suit myself.
Yeah.
But no, you know, like we have different strengths. But she is just so dang smart. And one of the songs that she wrote, the one that she did for the Mary Poppins number, is that that song from Hamilton that the King does. Do you know that soundtrack?
You'll Be Back.
Yes.
Love that one.
And but it's On Your Back, and it's like basically to the client from the Dominatrix.
Oh,
but in this Julie Andrews voice.
Oh my goodness.
So I'll send you the song. But like I just caught myself all day today just like walking around and singing parts of that song and just thinking, Those lyrics are so damn smart. That is so good.
That is hard, especially with a song like that, that the original just sticks in your head so much because it was so great. To come up with something new is tricky.
Absolutely.
She sounds very smart.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to send you the song. You're going to love it.
I can't wait to hear it.
Okay. Tell me you're smart.
Oh my God. I'm kind of embarrassed. I went full on nerd here.
Good.
This was like,
honey, somebody's got to be the brains of this operation, and it ain't me.
It's fitting with what we talk about here, though, which is why I shoehorned it in here. But I heard it literally maybe 45 minutes after I texted you this morning. So it was just kismet. What? Crazy. I heard it on this podcast that I love called Being Well. And it's really about like psychology and well-being. It's a father and son duo that the dad is a psychologist and a Buddhist. I don't know. Like he's really into meditation and all this kinds of stuff. He's really, really zen. And then his son is, I guess he's in his 30s and he's kind of the one that runs the podcast, but they do this together and they talk about all these really deep topics. And so this time they had a couple guests on, and one of the guests was really into Abraham Maslow, you know, like from Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Right.
And they were talking about all this in the context of happiness and kind of how we're all always pursuing happiness and worried about like, oh, I'm not happy enough. Like I need to change this and that. And he dug up this old unpublished essay of Maslow from 1964 called The Psychology of Happiness. And here's the quote that he pulled out in the podcast. Maslow said, "We must learn to give up happiness as a goal of life. It is a privilege of human existence to have worthwhile pain." And what he means by worthwhile pain sounds very much like what you went through with Tara this weekend. Childbirth, right. Loving others, even though you suffer by loving someone, like, you know, you suffer through the things they suffer through, or when you lose them eventually, being tortured over your craft, like all of those he calls worthwhile pain. Good living and happiness must be redefined to include such instances of what he calls miserable privileges. Perhaps we can define happiness as experiencing real emotions over real problems and real tasks. And that's my little smart quote.
That is beautiful, Leslie.
But it just reminded me of creating things. Like there's so many ways you could apply that, right? But it kind of reminded me of in the context of, for me, writing. I put out this newsletter every month, and it's just this silly, fun thing that you can sign up for on Substack, by the way, yes. LeslieGar.substack.com.
Yes, and, sign up.
Yeah, it's great. I have fun with it, but it becomes this really stressful thing in my mind just to write a fun little essay that's going to make people laugh. It just becomes like a, almost like an existential, I don't know what, you know, problem for me. And that quote kind of reminded me that like, that's essentially a good problem to have. That's part of it. That's the problem, that it's a privilege to have that burden of the stress of creation, because in the end of the day, at the end of the day, you're getting to put something out in the universe. You're getting to use your talents. And like, that is what happiness and living your life well is all about.
Well, that is just, I couldn't agree more. And that is so beautiful. And I'm so glad that you brought that to the show. And I love the different ways that we interpreted the prompt.
That was kind of fun, like that we did it in our own way.
It's kind of like the falling on your ass metaphor too. It's like, what's the worst that could happen? You do something totally outside the box.
Completely.
Guys, this is our final episode of season one.
That's
season
right.
One of Leslie and the Drag Queen. There will never be another season one.
Never again, but there will be a season two, not too far in the distant future. So keep That's an right. eye out. Before we get out of here, though, we got to do a quick keep making shit.
Oh, I love it.
Here comes the music.
Keep making shit. You better make it.
Make it.
All right, Candy, I think we all know what you made this week.
Over
not just this week.
She was germinating for a while. She was. What? Oh my gosh. You know, I was just thinking, Dawn and I had a conversation. Well, Dawn and Dan Paul had a conversation months and months ago, maybe a year ago, maybe more, but it was about this whole thing. That's where we came up with Tara's name, and it like, it set wheels in motion. And I think that like, in some ways, like she really has been gestating for a long time and finally came to term.
I mean, every creation is like that. It's like a birth. It could be a huge one like this, like something that takes so much time and energy to germinate and gestate, or it can just be some little, a little birth, but it really is something that takes time to come out.
Exactly. And you never, you don't know what's happening in your subconscious. There's bunches of little snowballs rolling down hills up in there that are like getting ready
you never to know what's
bust gonna happen. Out.
Yes.
But you got to listen. You got to listen to your mind.
Yeah. And it has to be quiet enough for you to hear it. Yeah. Or it will, it'll go away. All right. Well, you want to hear about what I made this time?
I sure do.
Okay. So my twins are applying to a couple of magnet high schools. And for one of them, they have to do a project that talks all about who they are, that just kind of shows the selection committee who they are. And it can be, it's really kind of the epitome of keep making shit, because it can be however they want. It can be something they write. It could be a dance. It could be an art project that they make. So my son is making a collage with different cutouts of all sorts of pictures that kind of define him. He's actually working on it right now. And then his twin, my daughter, we are choreographing a dance together. She's a dancer like I am. And she's danced since she was like four. And we are choreographing just a little 2 or 3 minute dance that kind of takes a ride through like her history as a person. Like this, I was telling her, as a mom, I've seen you grow from this very, very shy, introverted, I mean, almost painfully shy child that wouldn't physically let go of me to go into preschool, to like now she's 13 and she's just so confident and has all these friends and is totally tenacious, absolutely tenacious when it comes to dance and theater and auditioning. Totally. She is just, you see none of that when she's on stage. She is like at home. She's in her body. She knows who she is. And so we're kind of telling the story through that of, you know, she kind of starts off at the beginning with these very small movements, and then she's slowly coming out of her shell. And so just to be able to make that period would be amazing, but to make it with her and to see yourself reflected in your child. Yes. And then it is so, I don't even know the right words, because it's all the things at once. It's like fulfilling and gratifying, but bittersweet too, you know, because it's like you're, especially as a dancer, it's not the same being a dancer at 43, my age.
Right.
And you know, like you're coming towards the end of all that. And then someone else who's just coming into it. It is just, I think of that quote, like that I just read. It's kind of like one of those, what did he call it? Like the miserable privilege, because it's not just one thing. That's not just happy to want to do that with her. It is a kind of torture, but it's also wonderful. So that is my very deep, my deep shift that I've been making this week.
It needs a Mary Poppins soundtrack to go behind it.
Yes.
Some bittersweet music.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. I love that. And so now will this be filmed? How's it going to work?
Yeah. So we just film it and then she submits it with her application, and they're actually applying to two different schools. So with one of them, everything is just submitted online. And then the other one, she'll have to do it in person if she's selected. She like they
Does
go
that mean
through
you'll have to do it in person too?
No. No, it's all her. But part of it is preparing her for that, of like, okay, it's just like what Tara had to do in the show. Like,
that's right.
Here's what happens if you fall down and, you know, you're not going to fall apart. You just keep going. You work with it. And it's all part of it. So, yeah.
Turns out what really makes an artist is just not stopping.
I mean, I think that is the damn truth. It's Kathy Griffin talks about
that. For a long ass time. Mm-hmm. It's just like, if you feel that urge to make some stuff, make it.
That's right. And however you want to make it, it doesn't even have to be for anyone else but yourself. It can just
just
be scratching an itch that needs to be scratched. But Elizabeth Gilbert talks about this in, I think, in Big Magic that we were talking about last time in her book about creativity.
Yeah.
That the other side of that is, if you don't use that creativity, the talent that you have in you, because of whatever reason, you don't think it's good enough, or you can't sell it, or you're too old, or whatever.
Right.
It becomes a burden. It becomes a burden that weighs you down. And, you know, I think it is double-sided.
Like a bitterness almost.
Absolutely. Because there is something in you that needs to come out and express itself. And if you deny that, there are consequences to it.
Hitler was a blocked artist. Right. He went to art school and they shut him down.
Yeah.
And look what he did. You better accept everyone into your art school. You better not tell anyone they're a loser. You better give everyone an appreciation ribbon, or we're going to get another Hitler on our hands. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but there is some truth to it, right? I mean, you don't think that way.
You can't avoid the pain of life, you know, like shit's going to happen to people, but it's all about what you do with it.
That's right.
Guys, it's a lot more fun to make some art or music or do a little writing or dance or anything or chop some wood or make a soup than it is to start the Third Reich.
Just,
you know,
feel
better in the end. And it's a lot less work, honestly.
Totally. Who has time to like come up with a new uniform? And they always have some sassy little march that goes with it. Right. That's just, turn that into the next
Fourth Reich. Everyone's just going to be like comparing it to the last Reich.
Right. It's never as good. Just don't do it. Just go and paint something.
Please.
And tell us about it once you do. Even though we're going to be on our little break, we still want to hear about the shit you
we're
going to
be, we're going to still be checking that email.
That's right. LeslieandTheDragQueen@gmail.com. Real quick, Candy, before we get out of here, I just wanted to share a couple of awesome reviews that we got.
Reviews?
We have some lovely reviews.
Ooh.
I know. These are from Apple Podcasts, but you can review us wherever you want. It all helps so much.
Shout it from the rooftops.
Yes. And tell a friend. That's really the best way to get the word out. So this one comes from Hee Chandler, and the title is Laughing Out Loud. Appropriate. Hee is laughing out loud. So this person said, Leslie and Candy have great chemistry. During my time off between Christmas and New Year's, I always do some extreme cleaning. Today, I was excited to get back at it as I had Leslie and Candy to spend the day with. As I was painting and scrubbing, I was laughing out loud. I'm very sad that I have to wait 2 more weeks for the next podcast.
Oh,
isn't that great? I love that.
Hee Chandler.
So sweet. Here's another one from Rocky Lou that says, fabulous. Leslie and Candy rock. They represent the world today. Give them a listen.
Oh,
I think we do represent the world today, don't you, Candy?
Yeah, I think we're covering a swath, you know, albeit a rather white swath, but we're still.
That is true. We want to
season 3 talk to that. Some representation going on in here, but you know, we're all representing something, and I think you and I both represent groups that generally people would not think overlap. You know,
like that's kind of what I was thinking.
Not just being a mother, but being like a real mom. You know, you're part of the culture. You're part of the mom culture.
Yeah.
And that and the world of drag, I mean, sadly, these days, it's been kind of like forces have been trying to work to push those two groups apart. And with good reason too, because when we team up, we become very powerful.
You don't want to get the mamas and the drag queens together, y'all. You're not ready.
No, no,
it's
because
like Leslie and the drag queen on crack.
The drag queens are going to tell the women what they're worth, and the moms are going to tell the drag queens how to get what they want. And then we're going to take over.
That's right. So yeah, they got to keep us apart, but not for long. It didn't work on us, and it didn't work on us. Work on everyone else out there.
Nope.
We're just going to keep on keeping on.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Guys, thank you for making 2022 such a rocking end of that year. Such a great bookend. And I'm so excited to see you guys in the new year.
Same here. Thank you all so much for being here. It has been awesome. We can't wait for season two. Hit us up with your suggestions and we will catch you then.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Enjoying the show? Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Help us spread the word by rating and reviewing the show. And tell a friend while you're at it. Got a story for the Humiliation Station or for our Keep Making Shit segment? Send it to us at leslieandthedragqueen@gmail.com or on any of our socials, and you could be featured on an upcoming episode. You can find Leslie and the Drag Queen on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.